So, Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, you are the great one, you are the glorious one, Lord Jesus. You came that we might have life. We celebrate your greatness today. We celebrate the great salvation, so great a salvation that you have given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for every person who is here today that they might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that they might find it the great joy of following Jesus all the days of their life. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to sing praise to your name and honor your name today. So, Lord, it is good for us to be together, and we thank you for the fellowship of the Spirit that we enjoy together in this place. Now, help us as we hear your word, that we might hear it and obey and do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, this morning is our Gideon Sunday, and we have Bobby Tidwell, who's going to be coming representing the Gideons. Would you say good morning to Bobby? Bobby, why don't you take just a moment and share with us, tell us a little bit about, not everybody here may be familiar with the ministry of the Gideons, and Bobby is one of our men who represent many. In fact, if there are other Gideons in this service, would you stand? Yeah. Other Gideons who may be in here, anybody? Yeah. Don't be shy. All right, several? All right, let's give them a hand. Thank you, men, for what you do. Bobby?
I'm going to burn this book. That's what Rob, a college student in New Jersey, said when he was handed a New Testament and challenged with reading it. The next year, the Gideons returned to the campus, and Rob came up to him, and he apologized for his previous actions. For you see, Rob didn't burn the book. He read the book, and he had accepted Christ as his personal Savior. The Gideons International is an association of born-again Christian business and professional men. We are laypersons, not clergy, who are in good standing in an evangelical or Protestant church. The Gideons believe that the Bible is the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God, and that Christ is the eternal Son of God. Our purpose since 1899 has been to share the gospel around the world and have lost souls come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We're organized in over 200 countries with scriptures published in 99 languages. Gideons began distributing scriptures in 1908 as a way to fulfill their mission. We distribute Bibles in hotels, motels, hospitals, and convalescent homes. We give New Testaments to students in schools and colleges, to the police, to the fire, and to the medical personnel, as well as the men and women of their armed forces. Now, we do not conflict, nor do we duplicate the mission of the church. We act as an extended arm to the church. We are part of a local church of believers just like you, and to serve and to give and to distribute the word around the world. The Gideons distributed over 90 million scriptures last year. And since 1908, have distributed over 2 billion scriptures around the world. Now, that means that the Gideons distribute at least 2 scriptures per second of every day. Let me say that again. The Gideons distribute at least 2 scriptures per second of every day. Now, God's promise of Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper wherein the things I send." That promise is being fulfilled by men and women, boys and girls that come to know Christ as their personal Savior through scriptures placed by Gideon. "Now I am ready to kill my father after years of daily abuse." Raymond Molina hated his father and wanted to kill him. Now, he thought of several different ways to do it, but they all failed. And so he just decided to take his own life, and he failed at that too. So then he decided he would join the army, where they would issue him a gun and train him on how to use it. He did. He joined the army, and after many months of training, they gave him a gun and they began to train him. And he thought, now I'll kill my father. A few days later, a group of men came into the regiment and they gave each soldier a New Testament. And they challenged them with reading it before making any kind of decisions. Raymond began reading his New Testament, and each time that he read it, his hatred for his father was less. But he kept saying, I will kill my father. The days, the weeks, and the months they passed, until one day Raymond fell to his knees. He asked God for forgiveness, and he accepted him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as his personal Savior. Today, Raymond Molina is a pastor of a church in Chile. Recent surveys say there's over 5 billion unsaved people in the world. Now that means there's 5 billion people that need God's Word, and you can help us reach them. You may ask how. Well, first we ask you to pray for the Gideons International and their mission to see that the lost come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And then we ask you to pray for open doors, and not only doors in other countries where they've never been opened, but some doors here in America, in our schools, in our hotels, that they might be reopened where scriptures can be distributed. Then we ask you to pray for more Gideons. There's only some 300,000 Gideons around the world. The work is vast and the need is great. And we ask you, if there's anybody here that's thinking about the Gideon ministry or wants to be a Gideon, see me or any of the Gideons, we'd be glad to talk to you about the Gideon ministry. And then we ask you to please prayerfully pray about giving. We'll be taking an offering up at the doors as you leave. We ask you to pray about giving. And if you didn't come prepared in your handouts you got this morning in your bulletin, there's an envelope. Just send it to the Gideons at P.O. Box 21 here in Dixon and let them know you're a part of the First Baptist Church Dixon congregation. Now, just ask you to remember one thing as you give. Every penny that you give goes to the printing of scriptures. Not a single penny goes to the overhead of the Gideon ministry. That is all paid for by the Gideons. Now, testimonies like the ones I've told you about today, they're made possible from gifts from people just like you. We place Bibles in hotels and around the world at a cost of $5, with the potential to reach 2,300 people during the life of that Bible. And then when we replace the old ones with new ones, we give the old ones to the local jail and prison ministries for distribution. We have distributed and placed in over 160 countries around the world the New Testaments at a cost of $1.20 each. Now we also have, and we have a display out front, we have what we call the Expression Card Ministry. And we ask you to consider, the cards are for any occasion. And we ask you to consider, anytime you send a card, send a Gideon expression cards so that some word might be shed and there may be scriptures given to someone throughout the world. Each card contains a scripture for somebody in need, but it also contains a testimony of someone who received Christ as their personal Savior after receiving a scripture. We ask you to please consider, give a card, send the word, and change a life. And the Gideons have also, in the last couple of years, they've realized that a lot of people are interested in you know what I'm trying to say. I get them mixed up. And you can't be a Gideon, but you can do the work thereof. And we have now what we call the Friends of Gideons. And there's two forms. You can be a prayer partner, or you can be a financial partner, or you can choose to be both. And you can see any of the Gideons, we'll be glad to talk to you about it, or you can go to our website at friendsofgideon.org. Pastor Mike, thank you, and thank each of you for allowing me just a few moments to tell you the impact that your prayers and your gifts are having around the world. I ask you to please continue to pray for the Gideons, and God bless each of you.
Amen to Bobby. Amen. Now, one thing Bobby mentioned to me, I think this is great for you. In fact, he has, it's very unique. He has a Bible he was talking about when they were changing out Bibles in a hotel. Bobby found this Bible, and someone had written their testimony of how they read God's Word and came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bobby, you have that right there?
That's correct. Yeah, one of the local hotels that we replaced them this year, I had the opportunity to pick this Bible up and look through it because we replaced it in. It's torn and written in. And written in the back of it, it says, "Lord Jesus, I know I need a Savior. I believe you are, for me, the way to God the Father. I accept you as my Savior. Please forgive me for all my sin and come into my heart and save me. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for dying on the cross for me, and thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen."
Now that's the power of God's Word, amen, to save. I say again, thank you to Bobby and for our Gideons. God bless you, Bobby. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to find your place in the book of Philemon, or as a lot of people in the South call it, Philemon. You can pick whichever way you'd like to say it. This is a little letter that Paul wrote. I call it a thank you note, a thank you letter to this man, Philemon. Many thousands of years ago, he wrote these words as a prisoner in Rome. So here's a man in prison, a Roman prison. Roman prisoners didn't go so well. It was hard for them. But he wrote these words to a man that he had led to Christ, who was his brother in Christ, who was a fellow laborer in the gospel. But what he says to him is what I want to talk for just a moment to you about. I want to talk to you about the power of personal ministry in the life of every Christian who's here today. Now, we have a lot of public ministries in the life of our church. I mean, Sunday school ministry and our music ministry and our discipleship ministry and all these formal ministries, and people participate in them and people lead them and people help with them. But I'm really talking about something more than just those ministries. I'm talking about what you do privately as a follower of Jesus that really probably nobody knows but you and the Lord. And I want to talk to you and remind you today and encourage you about the power of your influence when you minister to somebody else in the name of Jesus. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, who is our champion and our hero, who gave us 2/3 of the New Testament. And yet, Paul is so moved by the personal ministry life of Philemon. He takes these words to talk to him about them. I'm not going to talk about the other part of the book of Philemon. I want to focus primarily on these first 7 verses. Philemon, the church, was a home church. It met in his home in a city called Colossae. Paul did not start the church in Colossae. But Paul perhaps had led Philemon to the Lord earlier on, so he had a relationship with him, his family. And now Paul writes as a prisoner, restricted and having a hard time as he thinks about and hears about the ministry of Philemon. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word, and we'll read together these first 7 verses from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, notice how he addresses him, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now our focus will be on these next verses. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. But here's the verse. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Now, Heavenly Father, we stand reading our Bibles. Thank you for the ability we have to read the words. And may these words come alive for us, and may the Holy Spirit take them and apply them in our personal life. And I thank you, Lord, for these who stand representing the hundreds and hundreds of believers and saints who are a part of First Baptist Church, who carry out personal ministry every day, and how they bless others and refresh and encourage them. May they be encouraged today, and thank you for what they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, that personal ministry begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Personal ministry begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul says it here in your Bible. I thank God, verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, the only way I can be energized and empowered to carry out ministry in the life of somebody else is because somebody has cared about me and changed me. Because Jesus has changed my life, I want to do my part to be Jesus to someone else and minister to them in their heartache, in their pain, in their joys, in their ups and their downs. You see, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is where ministry begins. And so all around this room today, all morning long, speaking with all who've come to the worship time, I've reminded them, as I remind you, your faith in Jesus Christ gets it all started when you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead and you are saved. The Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you, takes possession of you. And as you permit him and as you allow and as you pray and as you seek God, you choose to follow Jesus' lifestyle. You choose to live like Jesus would want you to live. And there comes to be a power and a desire, listen, to look outward toward other people. You look at them first, not yourself. And so Paul, again, look at this. He hears these words. He's encouraged about what he hears about Philemon. He hasn't been with him in a while. He hasn't been able to be with him in his church. He's in jail. Here a prisoner writes a thank you note to somebody who was carrying out his personal ministry, and it was a help to him. I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that everybody who hears about us at First Baptist Church hears whatever else they hear. They hear of our commitment and our faith and our love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we choose to follow Jesus, that we choose to surrender to him as our Lord, that we live under his lordship, that we seek to do what he's called us to do. Personal ministry begins with a relationship to Jesus Christ. Philemon was a deeply committed follower of Jesus. And so that's what we do here. We say it all the time. It's on the bulletin that we receive as we come in, that we exist as a church to follow Jesus, to love one another and to tell the world about Jesus. But a second thing goes right with this. As we read these words from Paul the prisoner, he says, verse 5, I hear of your faith, your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus. Look, and toward the saints. He describes these people, these believers who were a part of his house church, as saints. The word saint means holy one. It's a description of all of us who are here this morning who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have made a commitment to step out of the darkness. We've made a commitment to no longer live by the world's standards. We've made a commitment to change our values and take up the values of Jesus. And so now, as we look toward one another, you know what we do? We love each other and we demonstrate to one another our desire to help each other. We begin to talk like a slave. How can I help you? How can I be here? Are you ready? A blessing to you. You know, I grew up singing that old song, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to someone today. You see, that's the attitude of a person with a personal ministry. Look, I don't know what God calls you to do. I don't know what the Lord directs you to do, but I can promise you this, in the world in which we live, the pain and the sorrow, look, if we went around this room and went individually by every one of you and heard the story of what's going on in your life right now, again, you'd be reminded of what I've said to this church for many years. Be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a hard time. Your personal ministry matters. What you do for Jesus blesses someone else. Because you have been blessed, you bless. Bless those who curse you. The Lord Jesus calls us to be blessed people who bless others by what we do for them. It's not so that we can put it up on the screen and announce it to everybody that we do it. It's not so that we can have some celebration about it. You see, ministry, personal ministry, is about what God puts in your heart and mind to do. And so Paul was blessed. He was blessed by Timothy. You know, when you hear about the ministries of people in our church, if I started to talk about them, I wouldn't know where to stop. So many of our people do such quiet, special ministry. They do it at their jobs. They do it in their homes. They do it with their neighbors. They do it among the people in our church. They hear about the need. They read it on Watchman Prayer on our prayer list. Someone mentions it in a Bible study. Someone mentions it in a group. And lo and behold, it's always been this way. It's a part of the nature. It's a part of the design of this church. Good followers of Jesus, they just go do ministry. They bless somebody. Now this leads me to the thing I want to spend my time on, and it's verse 7. Paul says, for I have come. Now look, he's writing this in jail. He's not probably eating the best food that Rome has to offer. He's probably not in the best kind of comfortable setting. But he's here as a prisoner, and look at this. He's hearing these things that are coming back to him from the brothers who visited him in jail. And as he hears these words, he says, again, this is for all of you today who do personal ministry. This is for you. As best I can personalize this, old Pastor Mike is trying to say to you, this is for you in the ministry you do. I hope you hear it. I hope you receive it. For I have come, listen, look at this. What is it that makes Paul joyful? What is it that brings comfort to Paul? For I have come to have much joy, and you could read it this way, and much comfort in your love. He's not experiencing the love of Philemon directly, but he's experiencing it by hearing of how Philemon loves God's people and loves Jesus. He said, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because, this is such a great phrase, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. Now, there are no refreshment stands at the doors as you come in here. I know some of you would like us to have a refresh, hot dogs, relish, and whatever else you'd like to have. You can bring your own refreshments. I have my own in my office, Dr. Pepper and Butterfingers, so don't tell Pat. You can refresh yourself. But you see, what Paul's talking about is not refreshments. He's talking about believers being the refreshment. He uses a great Greek word here, refresh. Jesus used the same word we talked about a few weeks ago. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened down. You're weary and burdened down, you come to Jesus. You're weary, you're beat down, you don't know what to do. You're confused in your mind. You're struggling to know what to do. You're beaten down. What do? You come to Jesus and he says, I will give you rest. It's the same Greek word. Translated here, refresh, and that's a better way to say it maybe. When you come to Jesus, he refreshes you. He refreshes you from the inside out. Though you go into sin and you get away from God, you come back and you confess your sin and you talk to the Lord Jesus about it, you tell him what you've done, and all of a sudden refreshment comes. I'll just read these verses for the sake of time. This was a favorite phrase for Paul. I have one example here on the screen for you, 2 Timothy 1:16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. Some of you get on the phone and you call and you refresh somebody who's beaten down. Some of you write cards and you write notes, and somebody goes to their mailbox and it may be the only mail that they get. And your card is there with your words on it. You get in your car and you sacrifice your time and you drive to somebody's house, to somebody, or you go sit with somebody at work on your break, or you find whatever occasion, however you do it. You often go and you seek to refresh. So that's what personal ministry does. Personal ministry brings a joy back to someone's heart. Personal ministry brings refreshment to others. This is what we do. This is how God designed the church to work. So that we learn the ministry of refreshment. I just read this to you for the sake of time. Paul talked about some men in the Corinthian church. He said in 1 Corinthians 16:17, I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus. We don't know who these people were. We don't know who these men were. We know nothing of their history. Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus. We know they were brothers in Jesus. And they ministered. And the Bible says, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 16:18, for they refreshed my spirit. Oh, never underestimate what you do in your personal ministry for other people. You bless them and you refresh them. Another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, for this reason we have been comforted. And besides our comfort, we rejoice even much more for the joy of Titus. Now Paul's happy about Titus, his brother, his younger brother in ministry. He says, we rejoice. This is 2 Corinthians 7:13. We rejoice even more for Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. You see, that's what the church does. We come and we refresh one another. We speak words of kindness. We love one another. We care about each other. We minister to one another. We refresh each other. Oh, listen, church. The ministry of personal refreshment belongs to all of us. You find your ways. It calms the heart. It encourages the mind. You know, we've got people who are here, even this morning, and in your mind, you're replaying over and over. You can't seem to break out of those torturous thoughts that trap you. How I pray, and I know the Lord will do it. He'll send that special Philemon your way to bless you and refresh you. By the way, you might be the one the Lord's trying to send. You might be the one who's sitting and you've observed someone who seems to be in a hard place. Then follow what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Oh, Pastor Mike, what would they think? They'll be refreshed. They'll be relieved. They'll be encouraged. You see, when we carry out personal ministry, it strengthens the spirit and renews our hope and comforts the hurting. So I have for you just a few words of wisdom from the book of Proverbs as we finish. You don't have to write these down, but you can listen to them, because it describes, I think, better than anything, what I've been trying to talk about the power of personal ministry. And all of you, many of you in this room, you do this every day. You do this all the time. So these words are for you. Proverbs 15:23. How wonderful is a timely word. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like a, what a great way to say, timely word. Spoken in just the right time. When someone is just about to the point they can't go back, they're all around you. They live with you. They work with you. They are your children. They are your parents. A timely word, a wonderful thing happens when someone comes along with the spirit of ministry like Philemon, a personal ministry, and gives a timely word, Proverbs 15:30. Now you're going to love this. Good news puts fat on the bones. Aren't you glad? It means you're strengthened. It means you have strength. Good news. Somebody coming along doing personal ministry, they bring good news. They come with a smile. They come not to tell you another word to drive you down and to bring you to despair. They come with good words. They come to encourage you. They come to speak to you. They write you a letter. They go see you. However it's done. They sit and listen to you. Good news puts fat on the bones. And Proverbs 25:11, talking about jewelry. Like apples of gold in settings of silver. Gold and silver together. Beautiful. Apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. There's somebody today praying that God will send somebody to help them. Personal ministry, like Philemon. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Are you listening? Through you. God does His work through us. And finally, like a cold snow in the time of harvest. Those two things don't sound like they go together, do they? Cold snow. When it's harvest time, it's hot time. But like cold snow in harvest time is a faithful messenger to those who send him. Look, listen. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. Thank you for your personal ministries. Thank you for listening to Jesus. Thank you for not being self-centered and saying, what about me? Thank you for following what the Lord says for you to do. First Baptist Church, you're famous for it. Thank you for doing it. God is working through you to bless and to refresh other people. That sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? And that's what He's called us to do. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we've had the opportunity this morning to consider the importance of our personal ministries. Lord, not everybody here has been called to stand and preach or teach or do public things. But you've called us all to ministry. As your word says, there are many ministries, one Lord. Heavenly Father, in the presence of all these who are your people, who know Jesus, who do all kinds of ministry quietly and privately, thank you for them all. Not only have I, but many others have received great joy and comfort because they have refreshed the hearts of boys and girls, students, adults, with their personal ministry. May our personal ministries grow. Lord, I pray for some who are here who need to again think about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve somebody? If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and while your heads are bowed, the most important thing for you to do is confess your sin and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We give a public invitation. We stand, we sing, we invite people to publicly come and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. You see, it's easy to do it here in the church house, not so easy in the world, but you got to step forward. You're among friends here. If you've prayed recently to receive Christ, but you've never followed the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism, that's the next step in discipleship. If you're here and you need a church home, we'd love for you to come be with us. What a great group of people here who seek to serve, to minister to others. We'd love to have you with us if God sends you from the balcony or below. If you just want to come, the pastors will be here, I'm here. We'd love to meet you. And if you're born again, you bring your family and say, look, we're going to put ourselves here and seek to follow Jesus along with you. Whatever it is the Lord wants you to do. Others of us, may the Lord bless you for your service, for all you do. And for others of us, it's time to get busy. It's time to go to work, not for ourselves, but for others. Well, let's stand together. We're going to sing this song, Mighty to Save. It's a great old song. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The words mean a lot. Eric's going to lead us. Let's sing and you come. Come on if you need to come.